Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
This is Calvin Austin III, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Roster Watch Nation, what is up and welcome back to the Roster Watch Top 10 Thoughts Show here after week four of the 2025 NFL season has concluded. We do have some Monday Night Football games if you're listening to this before those kick off. Jets, Dolphins, Bengals, Broncos. Dolphins jerseys are looking pretty sick if they actually do wear these ball blacks. But we're going to talk through the top 10 thoughts from the weekend. I was in Tampa for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Philadelphia Eagles game. Got a great bird's eye view of that one. Got some thoughts from that game specifically. Was able to come back actually Monday morning, long drive back, and was able to watch back the Sunday Night Football game, which was a long game. It was a good game. Cowboys Packers. That was an interesting dichotomy how that thing unfolded. And some of the outcomes from that game, from the Jake Ferguson and the George Pickens perspective, and the Packers. I mean, Packers have got me questioning some things after 4 weeks now, much differently than I did week one and two for the Green Bay Packers. Couple of breakouts, a lot of breakouts at the running back position for this rookie class. We're going to get to all of it here, but please click that like button. Please click subscribe if you are on YouTube. If you are on podcast, please leave a 5-star review. Tell me you love it. Tell me I hate it. Either way, it helps the algorithm here at Roster Watch Nation. If you're on YouTube, there's a QR code on the right side of the screen where you can get your week five waiver wire cheat sheet that'll drop on Tuesday evening after the waiver wire show here live on the channel. Again, we are up on YouTube and podcast on Monday and Tuesday. Monday's the top 10 thoughts. Tuesday's the waiver wire show. Friday is the weekend fantasy preview show that drops on Friday evening. That's always a pre-record. And then Sunday is the start or sit show live on YouTube. Again, it's only on YouTube on the weekend. Again, next week, week five, we will again kick off way early in the morning, about 8:45 Eastern time, because we do have a 9:30 a.m. kickoff. Once again, Vikings and Browns. It was Vikings Steelers this past weekend. I guess we can start it out right here. Number one, the Steelers. The Steelers found their defense in this game. I don't know if it was as much as the Steelers finding their defense, maybe as much as it was the Vikings losing their offensive linemen. They were down three offensive linemen at one point in this game. And Carson Wentz isn't exactly the picture of escapability. Now, he's much better than Kirk Cousins on that front, a little bit worse than J.J. McCarthy. But, I mean, he was sacked, six sacks by the Pittsburgh Steelers defense. Patrick Queen got him. Deshaun Elliott got him. T.J. Watt got him. T.J. Watt also got him for a pick. Deshaun Elliott got him for a pick. That game was brutal to watch. They almost give it back. The refs tried to give it back, but the Steelers found their defense. The Steelers are 3-1 heading into a bye. There was no Jalen Warren in this game, and we saw Kenny Gainwell just take the reins and run with it. Caleb Johnson has me worried. They did activate Trey Sermon for this game. Trey Sermon did not get any carries. Caleb Johnson had one target, dropped it. Caleb Johnson had six carries for 22 yards. Didn't look great. Kenny Gainwell, however, in this workload, I don't know if this workload is something he can keep up with. 19 carries, six receptions. That's 25 opportunities. Went north of 130 yards, had two scores. Like, Kenny Gainwell looked for real. As far as the overall output on this roster, Kenny Gainwell had 134 total yards. DK Metcalf had 126 total yards. and Rodgers only passed for 200. Rodgers was 18 for 22 to open this thing up. The Steelers look good, and I sort of thought this coming into the season, but I guess the number one thought is just here. The Steelers found their defense. Again, this has been a porous defense the first 3 weeks of the season against the Jets, the Seahawks, and the Patriots, as far as just giving up chunk yardage. Two rushing touchdowns to Justin Fields in week one, 100 yards to Breece Hall in week one. I was sort of worried about the Steelers. Like, they looked like they were showing age. We saw Ken Walker go for 100 against them. Like, they looked like they were showing age and that they weren't quite going to be the Steelers of old. I don't think that's the I don't think that's the takeaway here anymore. I think the Steelers have advanced through. The defense is here, and I think they're going into a bye right now. Who do they look like on the other side of the bye? It is Cleveland at home, notoriously a successful game for the Steelers. Then the Bengals on the road on a short week, Thursday Night Football. Again, no Burrow. So you can imagine 5-1, and then the game. 10 days rest. The Packers travel to Pittsburgh, take on the Pittsburgh Steelers, the potentially 5-1 Pittsburgh Steelers on a, I believe that's a Sunday night football game, Packers and Steelers before they get the Colts. So this team should be 5-1 playing the Packers on Sunday night football. This is a good Pittsburgh Steelers team. Now the schedule gets rough down the stretch. You got the Chargers, you got your Colts, the Bills, the Ravens. Like, it gets tougher, but the Steelers defense is here, and I still think the Steelers are going to be a contender. This Gainwell thing is it's a bit of a curveball. It's a bit of an interesting slice into this whole conversation that is the AFC in the NFL. Number two, Travion Henderson got there but didn't quite do what I said he was going to do. I said this was the week for Travion Henderson. It was close, but it was no cigar. We got there with Travion Henderson, 7 carries, 32 yards, had a touchdown. He had 2 receptions out of the backfield. Again, didn't quite get there from that perspective. I think the split was, I got to pull it up here. I had these numbers ready, and I shut the screen before I went live. The split between Travion Henderson and Ramondre Stevenson continues to be like 6 or 7 snaps, 28 to 15. And then 9 snaps for Antonio Gibson, which was the biggest kind of question mark that I had coming in, was what's the Gibson aspect going to be? But it's still Ramondre's back. But Ramondre was fine. 9 carries, 38 yards, 4.2 per, only had 1 reception. The big breakout in this thing was Stephon Diggs. The Patriots just poured it on to the Panthers. And I looked up in the middle of the second quarter, it was 28-6. And then that was like, all right, well, this is going to be coastline now. And Antonio Gibson gets carries, and Josh Dobbs is in the game, and yada, yada, yada. But Henderson got there but didn't quite get there to the extent that we saw a bunch of these other running backs again. So heading into Monday Night Football, Ashton Jeanty, takeaway number 3, Ashton Jeanty's breakout. And we can say Byron Bentonee a little bit. Jeanty clearly doesn't run a 4.4. I mean, that was also never like really pressed. Like, no one was like, this dude's going to run a 4.42. This is the next Jonathan Taylor from a speed perspective, or Saquon, whatever. Ken Walker. Jeanty almost got caught, but he scored 3 tugs. They lost the game. He had a 33-point game for the Las Vegas Raiders against the Chicago Bears. I think Jenty's here. Scored more points in week 4 than he had in week 1, 2, and 3 combined. In those 3 games combined, he had 25 fantasy points. He scored 33.5 in week 4. He sits atop the RB1 situation heading into Monday Night Football, like I said. Gainwell, the aforementioned, was running back 3. Justice Hill is running back 4. As far as rookies, though, we got Woody Marks. Woody Marks has thought number 4. Woody Marks has taken the job. This is Woody Marks' job now in Houston, and Houston stinks. So do I worry what this looks like from a season long-term perspective? Not really. Kind of a little bit. I'm a little bit worried, but not really. I think Houston's going to be fine. Houston's going to be in ball games. As long as you got Stroud in that defense, I think you're going to be in ball games. Again, they dust Tennessee. That doesn't really shock anybody. They were 7-point favorites at home. We fishingly took the Tennessee Titan coverage side of that in the Circa Millions this week, which was turned out to be a complete buffoonery of a pick. But Texans lost to some good football teams. The Rams, Bucks, and Jags are all up and up right now. I think they're all 3-1 at the current state. So I think Houston's fine. The takeaway and the thought here, though, has to center around Woody Marks. Like I said, Woody Marks, rookie running back out of USC, by way Mississippi State. This is his job now, and it's been one that, like, Nick Chubb, we thought Nick Chubb was going to get all the opportunity in the world as long as he possibly could, and he's just a little bit too dusty. He got carries in this game. He had 13 carries, 47 yards, averaged 3.6, but he's a zero in the passing game, caught two balls. Woody Marks caught 4 of 5 passes, 50 yards and a touchdown. That's the big thing here. So Nick Chubb's snap share, 52%, 51%, down to 40% in week 4. We saw his rush attempt share drop from 80% to 60% to 40%. And, of course, that coincides with Woody Marks going from 20% to 40% to 52% of the rush share. He did have a 19% target share in this game at 27.9 fantasy points, was a top 10 running back in fantasy, and a season high, career high, 58% of snaps, which, again, we're 4 weeks in. This is when the sample size starts to get respectable and where you can take something away from it. Woody Marks' snap share on the season, week 1 through 4, 12%, 28%. 49%, 58%. This is Woody Marks' job. Woody Marks is here, and he took the job from Nick Chubb. And this is where they're going to find that extra dosage of explosion that they need. Again, he's 5'10", 210, 5'10", 207, somewhere around that range, north of the Trey Mason-Dixon line. Woody Marks is the back. And if he's available in your fantasy leagues, you got to go get the 4th-round pick. You just got to do it at this point. He should have been added already heading into the week, heading into the last 2 weeks with the Nick Chubb situation at hand. Just being, he's dusty. That's just what it is. 17 carries, 69 yards, a rushing touchdown, 4 receptions, 50 yards, and a receiving touchdown for Woody Marks in Houston. But he wasn't the only other running back that was a rookie that broke out in this week. Omari and Hampton doubled down on his 24-point fantasy explosion in week 3 with a 27-point game in week 4. Again, it's no surprise for Omari. And so this is takeaway number 3, I believe. I'm just going to lump in all these rookies together. So we got Woody breaking out with Omari. We talked about Genty before. Omari drops 27.5 when you look at the snaps here. A week removed from the Najee Harris situation that happened in week 3. You go from 79% to 88% of the snaps and 100% of the rush attempts for the Los Angeles Chargers in what ended up being, I don't know. They lost. I didn't watch this game. This is one of the games I didn't watch. I was obviously at the Buccaneers game, so I couldn't watch everything live on Red Zone like a lot of people can and go back and watch a game or whatever. But I was getting the text messages. I was seeing the clips. Omari had 12 carries, and he gave it to Gus. He had a 54-yard touchdown rush. He caught passes. Like, he's doing what the alpha back should be doing. But it was an interesting game flow where they were down the whole game, and it wasn't like the traditional Chargers like situation where you would expect Omari to have like 23 carries to go for the $128. It was 12 for $120. So it's even more exciting, to be honest, with Omari at running back 7. And then the final rookie to finish inside the top 12 heading into Monday night is Quinshon Judkins, who gave us nothing in week 1, 10 fantasy points in week 2, 16 in week 3, and 21 in week 4. Again, we've talked about Quinshon every week here on the Top 10 Thoughts show. And we talked about the snap share and the rush attempts and the target share and what it means for Quinshon and Jerome Ford and Dylan Sampson. I almost called him Dylan Stewart, who's the edge rusher for South Carolina. And we saw it again this week. Not only did it go up like a little, it went up a hair, right? Quinshon's snap share went from 58% to 60%. So he got a little bit more tick. But now the target share came through. So it's been 7%, 3%. Now it's 13%. Right? We're getting a bump up. Same routes, bump up in target share. A little more snaps, a little less rush share. Jerome Ford drops again. So he's went completely opposite, 52%, 49%, 33%, 25% as far as snaps. Dylan Sampson saw a bump back up in this game. It's from 7% to 14%, not quite back to the 25% he saw in week 2. But Quinshon is the guy. Quinshon breaks through the line. We also did have a Cam Scadabue 13-point game. He was a good game for Cam Scadabue playing against the Chargers, but he ended up running back 19 heading into Monday night. The running back group, though, the takeaway has to be this. This is a very good running back class. We talked about it. We knew it would be with Genty and Hampton. We talked about RJ Harvey. We haven't quite got that breakthrough yet. But Quinshon Judkins, great back. Travion hasn't quite broken through. He's had some 10-point fantasy games. Scadabue's gotten you there three times now in the double-digit fantasy points. Really, really, really good running back group. Not sure it's going to be online with 2017. Really good running back group. I don't think any of these dudes, we haven't quite seen it yet. We haven't got the opportunities with Henderson and Harvey in the open field to break away and show that speed. But the cats that we've seen, the Gentys, the Scats, the Judkins, Hamptons, they kind of look like they're pulling plow. And what I mean by that is they get in the open field and they can't drop it. They can't drop the clutch. They can't get the third gear quick. A little bit of a problem from an upside perspective in Dynasty, but that's okay. I still think that the jury's out on Travion, and I believe in Travion. So I like it. Number four, let's stay at running back. Bijan Robinson. What the hell? Bijan Robinson is he's doing the thing. And it feels like we know what's happening, but it also feels like kind of like we're maybe out of pocket, not realizing what quite is happening here with Bijan Robinson. Four catches, 106. Oh, and he had 17 carries for 75 yards and a touchdown. Whilst the guy playing next to him had 16 carries, Tyler Allgeier. Whilst he had 16 carries, they combined for 33. They split. And Bijan finishes running back 5 on the week, 28 fantasy points, all four games this year, over 16 fantasy points. And Bijan just casually has 106 yards receiving in this game because he's the most elusive running back in the sport right now. Credit goes to Underdog for this stat. More receiving yards than I could just read this off. It's a stat, but they tweeted it. More receiving yards than Devontae Adams, his own teammate Drake London, DK Metcalf, Nico Collins, Jamar Chase, Garrett Wilson, Tyreek Hill, and Marvin Harrison Jr. He also has more rushing yards than Derrick Henry, Genty, Gibbs, Omarion Hampton, Josh Jacobs, Saquon Barkley, Bucky Irving, Christian McCaffrey. He's the unequivocal 1.01, always was, always will be. His 17-game pace is 2,482 yards, is Bijan Robinson. This dude is disgusting. And this is prime. You remember the year we had David Johnson? You remember prime McCaffrey? Like, we're getting it here with Bijan. If we're getting the touchdowns, we're in for a pretty epic season here with the Atlanta Falcons and with Bijan Robinson. I got to speed through a couple of these back end ones. I got a lot of shows today. Drove back from Tampa. I think I'm on number 5. I think Jacory Kroski-Merritt needs more touches. Number 6. I went to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers game and Emeka Ibuka is awesome. Here are my thoughts from that game specifically. Emeka Ibuka is awesome. Yes, everybody knows this. Baker Mayfield the career of Baker Mayfield is going to be it's going to be a great story when it comes to an end and they could do a doc on him. And like following him through high school in Central Texas to college, to Texas Tech, to transferring to Oklahoma and going through there and being the top pick and going to the Browns and taking them to the playoffs and the Panther situation, the Rams situation, and now in Tampa where he's going to play for the next, I don't know, he's probably going to play for 5, 6, 7 more years. The life of Baker Mayfield. I'm ready for that documentary, E60. Give me an E60 on the life of Baker Mayfield when this whole thing's done. Because that dude, he makes some throws that you really – the Emeka Ibuka throw was – the Emeka Ibuka throw, the Bucky Irving throw on the sideline, the placement on those footballs. And the energy and the pizzazz that he plays with, they lost that game, but they were in it the whole way through. And, seeing him live, it's my first time seeing Baker live, was awesome. But my biggest takeaway from this game, outside of loving Ibuka because he's Ibuka and how he looks, Godwin was targeted. And I'm reading it right now for the first time. Again, I told you I was at the game, so I didn't look at any stats for this game, literally till right now I pulled it up. Bucky had 102 receiving yards. Ridiculous, but that 72-yarder makes sense. I could have guessed this number, but I would have been short. I would have figured Godwin was at 7 or 8 targets. He had 10 targets, 3 catches, 26 yards. 2 of them were PIs that were not called. 1 was a hold that was not called. And 1 was a catch that he had a foot out of bounds. Godwin is, if you can buy Godwin right now, like that's the buy of the century, Godwin. And I come out of that game, a lot of people are like A.J. Brown, who had 9 targets. Like these two dudes combined for 19 targets in this football game, and they caught a combined 5 footballs for 33 yards, A.J. Brown and Chris Godwin. One of them's a buy, one of them's not. Chris Godwin's the buy of the century right now. He looks great. He looks pretty. He looks 90-95% healthy. A.J. Brown doesn't look healthy. Doesn't look like he's got full effort. He's not running it. He's not really separating from anybody on the football field. He doesn't look high effort. He looks like he might be more hurt than Godwin is. And this is from someone, literally, I'm telling you, bird's eye view. I watched a whole game, and my predominant focus was the receivers. We play fantasy football. I want to know these things. I watched Ibuka. I watched Godwin. I watched Goddard. I watched Sterling Shepard, A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, John Metchie looked fine. Dotson was mediocre. But, like, I want to know what the problem was with A.J. Brown. He's dust. I'm sorry. Could he still have a game or two this year? Of course. This team's awesome. But I think he's dust. I think this is, you know, this is, and I love A.J. Brown. Don't get me wrong here. I love me some A.J. Brown. I love me some A.J. Brown. He's 28 years old. But he's got that archetype that I worry about. He's got that that Andre Johnson. You know, Andre Johnson played till he was 35, but his last great year was age 32. Like the Andre Johnson. Andre was also special. He's a little bit different. Maybe he's an outlier. Julio Jones, who his last elite season was age 30. DeAndre Hopkins has regressed mightily. Like these guys that are, I don't know. Brown generally was viewed as a more of a deep threat, 4.51, 4.5, 240. The last 1,000-yard season for DeAndre was age 31. Again, AJ's 28. I think he's still got it. Like, I think he can still have a couple 100-yard games. But what I'm saying is he looks zapped. Like, I don't know if he's hurt. Maybe he's hurt. Maybe that's what it is. But he looked like no energy, no separation. He's zapped. He looks dusty. So I don't know what the situation is. Feels like it's a couple years early still, even for that archetype of guys to fall off the cliff. But, man, I'm worried about A.J. Brown. I think Godwin is a much bigger buy at the current state of the game. Dallas, Green Bay, Romeo, oh, Romeo, my Lord, 3 touchdowns. Why does he do this? Romeo's so enticing when he does stuff like this. So awesome. But of course, it's a 3 touchdown game, and it's like not a. It's not like a, you know, it's not a George Pickens. It's not an 8 for 134 and 2. It's a 6 for 58 and 3, which is, it's fine. I mean, Romeo's good. But come on, baby, give me some of that George Pickens. He's a menace, man. Just, we've talked about the menace level of the dog rating. That is George Pickens. But the biggest takeaway from that Dallas Cowboy Green Bay Packer game was 110% the fact that Javonte Williams could last through this Packers defense. 20 carries, 85 yards, averaged north of 4 yards a carry, had a touchdown, caught a couple footballs, hit 100 yards from 100 all-purpose yards, 100 yards from scrimmage, whatever. Phenomenal. Jacobs did his thing, crushed. Golden's breaking out before our eyes. Emmanuel Wilson outscoring Roschon Johnson. Alex, where's my beef rib? It's coming. I can taste it. But like I said, biggest takeaway, Javonte Williams here. Javonte Williams still a buy. And the Cowboys showed that they could push it with anybody because it's a good Packer defense. Energy, high energy, you know, focal point. Around Micah Parsons, sure, I get it, for sure. Cleveland, Isaiah Bond, you got to get in. I think we're at like takeaway number 8 now. Isaiah Bond, you got to get in. It's happening quick. It's happening quick. 6 targets, 3 for 58. It's happening quick. I promise you, don't get on that Isaiah Bond wagon. The Lions are back, and they're just chugging. I know they felt like they took that step back in week 1 against Packers, but the Packers are good. This Lions team, 52 points, 38 points, 34 points each of the last 3 weeks. Bears, Ravens, Browns, they got the Bengals upcoming. Big matchup with the Chiefs in a couple of weeks. The Lions are for real. There's no worry there with that. The Rams, I would say the Rams, this is takeaway number 9, good, good football team. Maybe the best run defense in the sport. Held Jonathan Taylor to 76 yards on 17 carries. Didn't rank him as high this week because I was worried about that. They've been phenomenal. That might be the best front in the sport, defensive front in the sport. In years past, you might say that's, you know, goes to Pittsburgh of sorts. I think the Rams are the best front 7 in the sport right now, and they beat the Colts. They did the thing that nobody's been able to do so far. They slowed them down. Nobody had over 100 yards. Adonai Mitchell should have, didn't. Tyler Warren got there. This team's good. Both these teams really good. Really good football teams. Chicago. We talked about Ashton Jeanty a minute ago. Chicago, though. I mean, Roma Dunze, talk about players screeching at the boards. I don't know if this is number 10 or not. We'll do one more after this. And then I got to get out. I got to get to another show. This is going to be an abnormal show today. But, hey, we got there. We got the top 10 thoughts in. Roma Dunze has jumped up the dynasty rankings. Last week was my biggest update for Roma Dunze. Rome. I'm sorry if I pronounce it wrong. Rome is now wide receiver 7 in dynasty. Chase Neighbors, Jefferson Lamb, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Puka, Roma Dunze. Ahead of him on Raw. That's where I had him going into this week. He's the guy, period. End of discussion. He's the guy in Chicago for Caleb. We've known this the last couple of weeks, but it's just, I mean, this is the guy. And Trey Tucker also followed up his 40 burger with 2 for 13. So if you're able to sell on Trey Tucker last week, congratulations. Takeaway number 11. Best wishes, praying for everything for Malik Neighbors. Tore his ACL officially, age 22. Devastating news. Second most receptions through the first 20 career games behind Odell Beckham Jr. I mean, this Giants team found a win, a massive win against the Chargers. Jaxon Dart, Cam Scadaboo, and now Malik Neighbors goes down. It's devastating for the Giants, that whole franchise, the whole thought behind Malik Neighbors, though, number one. I mean, this is a stud. And I just, you never know what's going to happen. We've seen the injuries over the last couple of weeks with the Ecklers, the Najee Harrises of the world, the Achilles. And now you have the ACLs. It's been a rather good year for injuries. We haven't had a ton, so I'm praying we continue to keep it that way. But Malik Neighbors, we are all thinking of you from the ACL perspective. Hope that all turns up. There it is. That's the top 10 thoughts from the week. Not the crispiest show, but a solid show. I appreciate y'all. Love y'all. We'll be back tomorrow with the waiver wire show going into week 5. It'll be the Trash Man and Alex Dunlap. I'm Cody Carpentier on behalf of Roster Watch Nation. I love you, appreciate you, and we'll see you tomorrow.
This is Anthony Richardson, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
This is AJ Brown, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
This is Josh Allen, and you're listening to Roster Watch.